You know, maybe you've been like Tarina and you had a bad day this week, like today. You know, maybe you've had some bad moments along the way. Maybe this week has been a little off for you, or maybe this month. There's been some challenges. I want you to know that there are people who have had a worse day than you, okay? So maybe you're the kind of person that likes to go out and take photographs of nature, okay? If you like to take photographs of nature, maybe this was a scenario that you experienced. There's a few things happening in this picture. Obviously, they were taking pictures of nature, and nature happened to be a giant bear. And there's a couple rules, I think, when taking nature photos. First of all, if you're going to take photos of dangerous nature, be sure you don't have to be faster than a bear. You just have to be faster to someone with you. And if you're not sure, do what they did here, trip the cameraman, and you're all good to go, okay? It's also getting really close to what I would call kind of amusement park time, you know, where you go to various amusement parks, you ride rides. Some people like get really scared of certain rides. It's really getting off the ride that could be more scary. That's what's happening here. This is a vertical point in the ride that it was stopped on, and they had to get, you know, a cherry picker out there to get them off. So, yeah, that is definitely worth the price of admission there. There are certain things in life you can outrun and other things that maybe would be a little difficult to outrun. Rainy day, guy with his girl, they start running in the rain. They are really not aware of what's coming because look at the smiles on their face. They're not nearly as terrified as they should be for what's coming their way. How about, Dad, Saturday morning is a great time to sleep in, right? But if you've got little kids, they don't want you to sleep in. They want you to get up and play and do this and do that. And dads just want to sleep in. And the kids say, no, play. Well, these two kids got out their arts and crafts to encourage dad. Dude, should have got up, right? Should have got up. This other kid has taken a stand on his issue. Like, I did a close-up on the dad's face, because it doesn't even seem like he's really fazed by it. Like, he's like, I can sleep through this, no problem. This last one, I honestly don't know what the attempt was on this candid family photo at the beach, or what the outcome was supposed to be. I think the baby was on her shoulder, and now that it's been ejected, and notice, it's still in perfect sitting position. The baby, no concern at all. I hope she caught that kid. But if not, he'll have therapy in the future, and it'll be his mom's fault. So, difficult seasons in life. We all go through them. We all have difficult seasons. Sometimes those seasons are due to some pretty serious things that happen in our lives, like the death of someone that we love. And it's just a tough time to get through. Or maybe it's a health issue. Maybe you've gotten news that's really tough, or someone that you love, someone that you're close to. Could be an issue that you're having with your children. Or maybe it's a financial issue that your family is going through. Maybe there's a relational conflict that is all-consuming and just really, really tough. Or maybe you've gone through a job change, or maybe it's unemployment that you're going through. Maybe it's a schooling issue or a testing issue. Life can deal out some tough stuff now and then. You know, there have been a few people that you probably recognize that have had some things to say about tough things in life, and I think some of it can be rather encouraging. Like Jack London said this, "Life is not always a matter of holding good cards, but sometimes playing a poor hand well," right? Or like our Vice President, Joe Biden, he said, "The art of living is simply getting up after you've been knocked down." Would you agree? Robert Schuller said this, "Tough times never last, but tough people do. And you might add, you're tougher than you give yourself credit for." Malcolm Forbes, guy who earned a few bucks, he said this, "When things are bad, we take comfort in the thought that they can always get worse. And when they are, we find hope in the thought that things are so bad, they have to get better." I think probably the quote that I agree the most with is Katharine Hepburn. She says, "Life is hard, after all. It kills you. My desire today is to be encouraging to you. But at the same point, I do know that what I'm about to say may not sound encouraging. But there's a truth in life, a truth, that you must at least acknowledge is there. And it's this. You've either just gone through a difficult season, or you are currently in a difficult season, or there's a difficult season right around the corner. And I wish it were different than that. But that's kind of the way life is. There are tough moments we've been through, there's tough moments we're currently in, and there's tough things that are just around the corner. And we just know in life that there's never this comfortable time that just goes on forever and ever of perfect bliss. There's struggle, there's difficulties, there's trials. And so there are either things that you've just come out of, things you're currently in, or something that's just right around the corner for us. And as we enter these different seasons, these seasons of difficulty, life can start to feel like it's spiraling out of control. At least that's my experience. The more difficult it is, the more I start to feel more and more out of control. And it becomes more than I can handle. And when life seems to just overwhelm me, I do have a tendency on people that I'm kind of close with who ask me, how are you doing, to truly say, I'm not doing too well, and I'll kind of tell my situation. And there are certain friends that I have and certain well-meaning Christians who then, when I tell a difficulty or struggle or a life event that's taking place that's really hard for me, they'll usually say something like this. Well, you know what they say, when God closes a door, he always opens a... What does that mean? A window? Who needs that? Especially when my troubles, I feel like I'm on the 12th floor of a building. I don't need an open window. I don't need like abstract God pointing me a certain direction. I need open doors or closed doors, not the window thing. I don't know what that means. Or I'll say like, I'm really going through a hard time right now. I'm really struggling and I just don't feel like I can handle this. And they'll say, well, you know what? God will never give you more than you can handle. Really? Is this your experience? That God has never given you something that's more than what you were able to handle? Hooey! That is not true. That is not the experience of any human being that I know. Life is full of things that you can't handle. Things that overwhelm you. Things that stress you out. Things that feel like you're getting crushed underneath. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, I will go this far to say, not only did God never say this, and not only is this something that is not true, but the opposite is most likely true. You will get more than you can handle. And your life and my life and the lives of your friends are examples of life giving you more than what you can handle. This quote, or this Christian belief that God will never give you more than you can handle, is from one verse in the Bible, and if it said that, I'd say that's enough. But the problem is the verse doesn't even say that. The verse is completely misinterpreted. The verse you'll find in the book of 1 Corinthians. And before we go into this verse, let me explain that what Paul is saying here is he is saying that life will bring you temptations. Do you all agree? Temptations? Some of your temptations may be chocolate cake on the counter. Some of your temptations may be alcohol. Some of your temptations may be lustful. Some of your temptations may be gossip or lying. But we all have our temptations in life, things that we feel compelled to do. And so Paul says, I want to address temptations. And so he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, these words. He said, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Okay, so nobody has more temptation than another. We all deal with it in our own way and have it. But he goes on and he says, and God is faithful. And this is the part that gets misinterpreted. He says, he will not allow what? The temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Paul is saying, when you're tempted, temptation, we all deal with it, and you can't say yours is stronger than another one, just the way it is. But when you're tempted, God will not allow a temptation to eat chocolate cake or whatever terrible temptation it is. He won't allow it to be so strong that you can't overcome it. And when that temptation feels like you're going to give in, he says, I'll give you a way out of it. Whatever that might be. This verse has nothing to do with the struggles and difficulties and pains of life. This verse does not say that when life gets tough, God won't let life get so hard you can't deal with it. It doesn't say that at all. It says temptation. And temptation is a lot different than the death of a loved one or a doctor calling and telling you terrible news. Or those aren't the temptations. That's the tough things of life. And people take this one verse, misinterpret it, and then tell everyone that God will never let you go through something or never give you something that you can't handle. In fact, even the casual Bible reader, as they read through the scripture realizes that statement is completely false. Because the scriptures are filled with people that had more than they could handle. People that were ill-equipped to deal with what God put in their path and the struggles that they were facing. I'll give you an example. Job. Heard of him? Okay, Job is a guy that had it all together. Job's a guy that nailed it when it came to being in God's favor. In fact, God said, there's no one more righteous than Job. Like, this guy's nailing it for me, okay? And then what did God allow to happen to Job? You see, Job was like a great dad. He was a great friend. He was a great father, a great husband. But God let everything in Job's life fall apart. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. And Job got more than he could handle. And if you don't believe me, listen to what Job had to say about the lot that he received. Job chapter 3, starting at verse 1, Job says this. At last, Job spoke, and he cursed the day of his birth. Now, we could stop there, but let's hear the curse. He said, let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived. Let that day be turned to darkness. Let it be lost even to God on high, and let no light shine on it. Let the darkness and utter gloom claim that day for its own, and let a black cloud overshadow it, and let the darkness terrify it. Breathe, because he's got more. He then goes on, let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear in the months. Let that night be childless. Let it have no joy. Let those who are experts at cursing, I love that, whose cursing could rouse Leviathan, that's like this giant, dragon, curse the day. So he wants to hire professional cursers for his day. But he's not done. Breathe. Because he says, let its morning stars remain dark and let it hope for light, but in vain. May it never see the morning light. Curse that day for failing to shut my mother's womb. Wow. For letting me be born to see all this trouble. Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me at her breast? Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and at rest. Did Job get more than he could handle? Did Job deserve to get more than he could handle? You see, this you'll see throughout the scriptures. Again and again, people getting more than they deserve, more than they can handle. Not easy. The stories in the scriptures are endless. How about Gideon? Moses? King David? Esther? Peter? What about Jesus? Did Jesus get more than he could handle? Doug. Jesus. Jesus could handle it all. He took all our sins on the cross. He bared all our burdens, Pastor Doug. So, and he was Jesus, so he doesn't count. Mark 14, 33 through 34. He took, that is Jesus, Peter, James, and John with him, and he became Jesus. deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Is that more than he could bear? Was his body dealing with more than he could bear? You know that he was sweating blood at this point in the story? His body was going through more than what he could handle. It was overwhelming. And you think, well, yeah, Pastor, that was his body, but he was still Jesus, so inside he was like rock solid, right? Well, how about hanging on that cross? Matthew 27:46. He said the same thing that we all say in our trouble. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" That sounds like a guy that's really going through it. Because those are the exact same words I say when I'm going through really hard stuff. And I start feeling sorry for myself and I say, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because this stinks. This is hard. This is tough. I want you to know that God never said that he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. But today I want to show you that there are at least a couple of reasons why God might do this for a season in your life and in my life. And the reason that he does this plays out in every one of these stories of Scripture, from Jesus all the way to Job. And that the reason that he does this has something to do with the purpose for our hard time, and that without the hard time that we go through, that we may never experience the realities and the benefits that would be realized in our life. It can only be realized if we go through those difficult times. So here's our question. Why would God allow us to have more than we can handle? And the first thing is because God wants us to depend on his presence. You see, when life is going well, we have very little need for God, correct? Can you at least be honest with that? When life is going really, really well, we just don't cry out to God, right? In fact, we can sometimes get into seasons where we really just forget about him because we don't really need him because everything's going super good. And so God becomes like kind of this background thing for us and isn't in the foreground of our lives. For many of us, this is an experience that we have. I mean, we know he's there, but there just isn't a lot of need for him because things are going so well. Back in 1978, I was 8 years old, and a movie came out on the big screen that I loved. I didn't watch it then, but it was a few years later I watched the movie. It was a Burt Reynolds movie, and Burt Reynolds, at his best, had his sidekick. Anyone know who it is? Dom DeLuise. That's right, Dom DeLuise. So Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, they're in this movie, 1978, called The End. Okay. Now, it's kind of a macabre movie. The premise of it is that the character, Burt Reynolds' character, wants to end his life. And so that's why it's called The End. But every single time, either his sidekick, Dom DeLuise, who he's kind of given the responsibility to kind of end his life, either messes the whole thing up, or Burt Reynolds pulls out at the very last second, and there's a lot of really dark humor throughout this movie. Well, finally at the end, the Burt Reynolds character is just committed. He's going to follow through with this. And so he decides he's going to keep himself from being able to stop the process. So what he does is he starts swimming out into the ocean, and he swims as far as he can, and he gets miles out until he can't swim anymore. He realizes that he's too far out there. Even if he decides not to do this, there's no way that he can survive it because he'll never make it back to shore, and he'll drown. And so at the very end of the movie, he swims all the way out. There's this like creepy music going on. You're feeling kind of sick inside, like, why am I watching this movie? And then, sure enough, he goes underwater and he sinks because he can't swim anymore. And you're like, wow, this really is the end. And then he explodes out of the water with this newfound passion to live. But it's kind of too late. Take a look at this clip from the end.
Ugh.
You know, if we can't get the video, the sound still works because it's just him out in the water. Sometimes you go through trying seasons.
I can never make it. Help me, Lord. Please. I promise not to try and kill myself anymore. Save me, and I swear I'll be a better father. I'll be a better man. I'll be a better everything. All I ask is, make me a better swimmer. Oh, God. I can't do this to Julie. We can't do this to Julie. Oh, God. Let me live, and I promise to obey every one of the Ten Commandments. I shall not kill. I shall not commit adultery. I shall not. I'll learn the Ten Commandments. Just get me back to the beach. I'll be honest in business. I promise not to sell lakeside lots unless there's a lake around. I want to see another sunrise. I want to see another sunset. It was a mistake, God. I never really wanted to kill myself. I just wanted to get your attention. Help me make it. I'll give you 50% of everything I make. 50%, God. I want to point out that nobody gives 50%. I'm talking gross, God. I think I'm going to make it. You won't regret this, Lord. I'll obey every commandment. I'll see my parents more often. No more cheating in business once I get rid of those 9 acres in the desert. And I'm gonna start donating that 10% right away. I know I said 50%, Lord, but 10% to start. If you don't want your 10%, then don't take it. I know it was you that saved me, but it was also you that made me sick.
You see, there are times that God allows us to go through difficult seasons so that we will learn to depend on Him. If you think of the biblical character Jonah, you remember his story? Jonah was one of God's prophets. And so as a prophet, God would say to Jonah, hey, Jonah, I want you to go here. These people are like not behaving in the way that they should, and so you're going to go to them, you're going to tell them you need to change your ways or else. And so God said to Jonah, he said, I need you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to talk to the Ninevites there and tell them this. And Jonah, he didn't like those people. He thought they were jerks. He didn't think they were worthy of not being erased off the face of the earth. So Jonah said, no, I'm not going to go. Well, the way he said no is he just ran away from God, and he got on this boat. And while on this boat, there's this giant storm, and finally the sailors figure out God is causing this storm, and he's going to sink us, And so they're going around, they're saying, did somebody like not do their devotions today? Like, what's up? Like, why is God so mad? And then they figure out, oh, it's Jonah. God told him to do something. He's running away. So the best thing to do is throw Jonah overboard. So they huck him off the boat in the middle of the storm, in which a giant fish swallows Jonah. It's like the series of events that are, you know, seriously unfortunate. And while inside this fish, Jonah prays. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. Notice he said, I didn't cry out to the Lord in my great success, but I cried out in my great trouble. We need God in our distress, and we tend to overlook him in our success. A couple verses later in verse 7, Jonah says this, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. You see, it was in his trouble, in his distress, when his life was slipping away, that's when he remembered God. See, for many of us, only when we need God do we remember him. Why is it during the storms of life, those are the times, and sometimes the only times, that we remember God? Why then do we call out for him only in the storm? Why is it during the storm we blame God for the problem that we're in? Because, you know, there are times that our own choices in life can create some pretty big storms in life. Wouldn't you agree? But I want you to never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. That's worth saying again. Never let the presence of a storm in your life cause you to doubt the presence of God, because he is always there. There are times in my life, and I'm sure there have been times in your life, where we start to go through difficult seasons. And there's other times when we're not going through a difficult season and we forget our need for God. But it's in those times, whether it's the good times or the bad times, and God sometimes, and many times will, give us a difficult season to go through so that we learn to depend on him instead of just depend on ourselves. In Psalm 145, verse 18, David says this, the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Now, King David was a guy who really needed this truth. And over again through the Psalms, you see this kind of play out as David needs God and forgets kind of and then realizes his need for God. And there's this one point in which David is walking along and he is on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a pretty nasty road. In fact, Jesus told a parable about a guy on this road, the Good Samaritan. You remember what happened to the Good Samaritan while walking on the road? The dude got mugged. He got robbed. And there were people on this road that would rob you, would mug you, would jump out, and even kill you. In fact, the road was down in the middle of a valley, this valley. In fact, when I was there in Israel a month ago, I took this photo. And down at the bottom of this is where they would walk, and the name of the valley. You know the name of the valley? The Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's still called that today, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Why is it called the Valley of the Shadow of Death? Because you got mugged. You could get killed walking through this valley because of the robbers. And David is out walking through this area, and he speaks what we call the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I what? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What was the evil? Yeah, the people who would like take your life away. Sometimes we read that psalm, we're like, you know, David's being very metaphorical. No, he's walking through the actual valley of the shadow of death, and while walking there, he said, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's this realization when life is rough, and even when danger is present, that we remember God and we call upon him. David did that. you do that, I do that. We need to remember that God can be there, His presence for us. But the second reason why God would allow us to have more than we can handle is because God wants us to experience His power. Now, I want to kind of illustrate this for you. God wants us to experience His power. So I've got a couple of gloves here. You can probably tell right off the bat just by holding them. These gloves, though I purchased them together, one is more is different than the other. Watch. Okay, ready? See the difference? That's pretty quick. Slow that down for you. What's the difference? Okay, this one is like firm, right? Stiff. It's hard. You could probably drive a nail with it. This one is floppy, weak, and limp. Now, if you want to get something done with these gloves, as gloves, I'd probably choose this one. This one will actually make a shelf. You could nail this in a wall, it would be a shelf. It is stiff. This one, not so much. Here's the challenge. Our lives are a lot like these gloves, and I was raised to take care of myself. I was raised to pull up my bootstraps, and when life gets tough, the tough get going, right? No pain, no what? Suck it up, okay? I tell that to my kids all the time. Suck it up. But Daddy, suck it up. You're three. Man up. Kids have turned out wonderful. And this is that, okay? But there's this crazy thing in our lives, and this crazy thing throughout Scripture, and this crazy thing in the way that God has wired us, is that when we live life this way, God can't really use this, just like I can't use this. Because what He says is, He says, in your weakness is where you'll find my strength. It's in my weakness that you'll be able to do amazing things. And if I try to stick my hand in this glove, I can't get it in. But this one, God indwells us and can do incredible things with us through our weakness. Through what seems in some circumstances to be weak, limp, not effective, God can indwell that and can do amazing things with it. But not with this one. How do you live life? Do you live it with your strength? Or do you realize that God's strength, something can happen in the midst of your weakness? Again and again, Jesus tries to teach us this. God tries to teach us this. The stories of Scripture try to teach us this message. In fact, here's the whole message, okay? It just boils down to this point, okay? So don't miss this. This is it. If you believe this statement that God won't give you more than you can handle, if you've internalized that, and even as I'm teaching this, you're saying, yeah, I still believe it. Pastor Doug, you wash it up. Here's the problem. If you believe that God will give you no more than you can handle, what's the need for God? If I go through my life believing God will never give me more than I can handle, what do I ever need Him for? Because I'll never receive something more than I can't handle on my own. What's the point of God? Does that sound like something God would say? You see, that's the problem with the phrase, is it teaches us just to rely on ourselves and we don't need God. Because don't worry about it. God won't give you anything that you can't handle. So no need to turn to Him. No need to call out to Him. No need to rely on His strength, because He's not going to give you more than what you can't handle. You're all good by yourself. And I think that's why we say the phrase, because it's easier to do that than sometimes to turn to God and to realize that we're weak and He's strong. Paul, there's a point in his second letter to the church in Corinth. He's telling them that he's gone through a really tough time, and part of that tough time is something he calls a thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know if this is, you know, a metaphorical thorn in his flesh, like, you know, a temptation or a struggle or some issue with his mother-in-law. We don't know. But it's a thorn in his flesh. It could be, you know, something very physical. Could be a bum knee or appendicitis. I don't know. But he has a thorn in his flesh. And he says that he went to God 3 times to take it away. Now, first of all, let me say this. If God is going to heal anybody of something, I'm going to put Paul at one of the top on the list. I'm going to put him before any of you. I'm going to put him before me. Because Paul rocked it, right? I mean, if God's going to heal anybody who's going through a tough time, it ought to be Paul. We know God doesn't work that way. But Paul said he asked God 3 times and God didn't heal him. Now, understand, this isn't like, you know, Paul was like, you know, driving his donkey to work one day and said, God, I got this pain. Will you take it away? And that's time number one. And he did that 2 more times for 3. When Paul says that he asked God to take it away, this is going to include fasting and prayer and having others pray and having people pray over him. And, you know, this could be weeks. This could be even a month of fasting, 40 days of fasting, asking God to take this away. 3 times he did this and God never took it away, but God told him something. And that's what he wants to tell the church in Corinth. And so he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, each time he said, God said this, about this time when he wanted the thorn taken away, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So you only need my grace, and my power works really good in weakness. Who's weak? Paul. He says, this Paul, so Paul catches this. He says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness. Okay, now this is where, if you don't understand this, Paul really starts to sound certifiable at this point. I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness, crazy, and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles I suffer before Christ. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Why is Paul strong when he's weak? Because of that. Because God can do something with the weak Paul. And so God let him have the weakness so that he could be strong. You see, God sometimes sends troubles our way, difficult seasons, so we'll trust and experience his amazing power. You may not want to hear it today, but God is going to give you more than you can handle. And he's going to do it again and again and again. Because it's in that moment that you will depend on him. And when he gives you more than you can handle, he's going to do something more powerful through you and through your weakness and your inability than he could have ever done when you didn't need him. Look, if you're going to be a foster parent, there will be more than you can handle. If you're going to adopt a child, there will be more than you can handle. If you're going to raise teenagers, good Lord, there is going to be more than you can handle. If you're going to be involved in ministry in some way, you're going to devote time and energy to service towards God and service of others, there's going to be more than you can handle. If you're a man married to a woman, or a woman married to a man, there's going to be more than you can handle. But when you admit to yourself that you can't do it, and when you believe in all your heart that God can and will be the wind in your sails, you no longer have to row the boat of life on your own upstream, but to realize that in your weakness, his strength comes. That in your weakness of rowing against the current, day after day after day, that the time comes when you trust in his strength, that you can let go of the oars, raise the sails, and let his power take you places you could have never gotten to on your own. Because that's when you're living life. The life that he intended for you, the life that he called you to, the life that he is empowering you to do. And it's in those moments, and I've seen it in my life and in the life of others, that you will experience supernatural patience and forgiveness and energy and love and everything that you need to do the thing that God has put you on this planet for and what he has placed before you. You see, God doesn't give us what we can handle, but God does help us handle what we get. Let's pray. Father God, we really do thank you for this truth. And though we are going to go through hard times, help us not to let it be a waste. That we would depend on you and we would allow your strength to work through our weakness. To stop trying to be that stiff glove or to be that person rowing that boat against the current. And to let your power fill us and to be able to do things in and through us that we could never have done on our own. Lord, help us to be supportive and encouraging to those that are going through difficult times. Maybe even to be that miracle that needs to happen in their life that you call us to be a part of, to step in and to help out. But to realize that if someone else is going through a hard time and we're not, to be that encouragement, because the day is coming when we'll go through our hard time and we'll need others in our lives to help us and support us too. Help us to be people of love and people of grace, people of hope and forgiveness. People that love you more today than we did yesterday. People that will be more like you tomorrow than we are today. We love you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, next week, we're in our third week in this series, and we're going to talk about a phrase that I hear a lot, and that is that God wants me to be happy. Does he now? We'll talk about it next week. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Have a great week. You're dismissed.